Mom, how long until we get there? Just a little longer. Can we open presents now? Just a little longer. How long until school's over? Just a little longer. How long until the wedding? Just a little longer. How long until the baby's due? Just a little longer. How long until retirement? Just a little longer. How long do I have to suffer like this? Just a little longer. How long until I get to go home to heaven? Just a little longer. Waiting. No one likes waiting. But for all the dislike of waiting, it's only second to breathing in its frequency in the human experience. I mean, we begin waiting right as we're born, right? You wait to walk, and you wait to talk. But then even after the walking and talking start, well, then the waiting has just begun. You wait to walk faster. You wait to talk better. You wait for the small body to become a bigger body. You wait for the childish speech to become mature speech. You wait for the simple mind to become a developed mind. And even then, the waiting has just started. I don't care who you are this morning. I know you are waiting for something. You might be waiting for a summer vacation. You might be waiting for a break from work. You might be waiting for your grown-up kids to come back and see you. You might be on the positive side of waiting, anticipating something good that's coming up, or you might be on the pessimistic or negative side of waiting, dreading the diagnosis, fearing the verdict, avoiding the conflict. So I encourage you this morning, take a moment and just think about, what are you waiting for? What's the thought that takes center stage in your mind's eye that has a red glowing clock ticking down seemingly slower and slower by the day, desperately waiting for it to become all zeros? What is the question that you can't wait to have answered? What is the moment that you can't wait to show up? What is the desire that super saturates your heart and your mind that keeps being frustrated by that little phrase, just a little longer? You have it? What you're waiting for? Good. Now let me ask you, was the answer to the question, waiting to see Jesus? If it wasn't, don't beat yourself up too much. It wasn't my answer either when I first asked myself that question. To my shame, of course. I suppose the next question is, why not? Why isn't our answer immediately and always seeing Jesus when asked, what are we waiting for? After all, you're here this morning. You took time out of your Memorial Day weekend to sit here and listen to God's word. And more than that, throughout your whole Christian life, you've made confessions of faith, whether it would be through speech or song or service. And so why isn't our answer always, we're waiting to see Jesus? Might I suggest that the reason our hopes and desires aren't all consumed by being in the presence of the Almighty is because the joy that is promised at the end of this cross-carried road, the joy that's promised in seeing Jesus, well, it doesn't really compare to the joy that the world promises. Joy? What does joy have to do with it? I mean, we're talking about waiting. Where's joy in waiting? Well, isn't that the whole point of waiting? That we're hoping that what's coming then is better than what's going on now? Don't kids wait for summer vacation because they prefer no classes to classes? Doesn't the engaged couple wait for the wedding day because they prefer to be together rather than be separate? Or maybe even to use the example that Jesus gives us in the gospel this morning, the woman who's in labor, doesn't she wait for her due date because she prefers the idea of carrying the baby in her arms versus carrying the baby in her belly? And so what do you think? Will seeing Jesus be better? And I have an assumption. It's an assumption. But I am assuming that your Christian gut reaction to that question is absolutely. Absolutely, seeing Jesus will be better. And I'm glad that is your gut reaction, but I encourage you to push past that gut reaction for a moment and really chew on the question. Will seeing Jesus be better? Will it be better than summer vacation? Will it be better than graduation? Will it be better than the day you say, I do, or the day you hold your newborn in your arms? Will seeing Jesus really be better than retirement or winning the big game or any other sight or sound or sensation that this world might possibly have to give you? Will seeing Jesus be better? Well, when you put it that way, maybe not. Jesus comes to us again in his word this morning and reminds us that seeing him will be better, and we will only understand it as better if we understand the difference between happiness and joy. This happiness, that's what the world waits for. I'm sure you've heard the sayings before. You just need to be happy. Do whatever makes you happy. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But here's the thing about happiness. We all pursue it, all convinced that if we just do this or just had that, then we'd finally get what the world's been waiting for. But it's a lie. You might experience happiness once in a while, but you will never truly be happy, because happiness would be valuable if it lasted. But how many of you can say that my entire life has been defined by nothing but happiness? I can't. Can you? So this happiness that was created by our Heavenly Father, meant to be a gift to perfect people, now exists in this sinful world as nothing more than a sinful narcotic. It's like a drug. We desperately want it. And when we get there, oh my goodness, we try to make it last as long as we can. But you know how it goes. You experience that happiness high for a little while and then comes crashing down. And all you can do and all you can think about is where you used to be when you were happy, and you're so desperate to get back to that place again. But here's the thing, both with the real narcotics and this sinful narcotic, the only way you're going to get back to that same level of happiness is if you have just a little bit more. If you experience just a little bit more, if you do just a little bit more, then you'll be happy. But you all know the problem with just a little bit more. It's never enough. Here's where joy differs. Happiness is a sensation. Joy, having joy, that's a status. Happiness fluctuates, but joy remains constant. Because here's what the happiness is most important people won't tell you. You're never going to be happy. All you'll ever be is experiencing the cessation of happiness. No, to truly be happy, that has to define every moment of your life. And so, no, we'll never manufacture for ourselves perpetual happiness. And that's why Jesus comes to us today and says, in the void of that perpetual happiness, I have something better for you. I have perpetual joy. And it's not determined by your present realities. Instead, it's determined by an eternal reality. And here's the point. This side of heaven, the things the world has to offer will make you feel that sensation of happiness more strongly than the thought of seeing Jesus. Because we don't perceive Jesus the same way we perceive the rest of the world. We use our five senses to perceive the world, and for us right now, that feels more real. So no, on this side of heaven, seeing Jesus might not compete with the day you say, I do, or holding the newborn in your arms. And yet, while those emotions come and go, I'm sure for those who've experienced them, you're no longer at that same emotional high. The joy of Jesus will never end and never changes. We see Jesus now only through his word and sacraments, and yet we have joy. And I see that joy in you. I heard it when you were singing. I heard it when you were repeating the words of the liturgy. The fact that you're here today shows me that you have joy. But we all recognize that that joy isn't complete. That's why Jesus tells the disciples that in this world, you're going to grieve. The world might be rejoicing, and you're going to be full of sorrow. Why? Because they're going to be chasing those happiness highs and saying, look how great it is. This is what it means to live. And all the while, you're going to be carrying a Christ-commanded cross on your shoulders, walking through twists and turns, bumps and cracks, and all sorts of nonsense in this life. Attacked all the time by the unholy trinity of the devil, the world, and your sinful nature. And yet, despite it all, you will have joy. Because no matter what comes your way, no matter what that cross-laden road has in store for you, you know how it ends. Because our joy is not based on our current circumstances, but is based on this reality. You are Jesus' joy. If you would have asked Jesus while he was still here on earth, and if you were to ask him even today, what are you waiting for? He wouldn't say, well, I'm waiting for more animal sacrifices from people. Or I'm waiting for more prayers and songs sung to me and spoken to me. Or, I'm waiting for the day when I can kick the devil into hell, lock the gate, and never see him again. He wouldn't say that. No, if you were to ask Jesus then and now, what are you waiting for? He would say, to see my children. For this is what the writer of the Hebrews says. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. For the joy. For the joy of what? For the joy of being with you. Because Jesus didn't need to pursue happiness. He had perfect happiness and bliss as part of the Trinity eternally, and yet he decided that he was going to leave that place of eternal glory and bliss and come down into this sin-sick world and deal with sin-sick sinners and become sin-sick himself. So that in his suffering, in his death, in his burial, he might destroy both sin and the sickness and death itself, and in his resurrection guarantee us, the once sin-sick sinners now forgiven and healed, eternal joy. And so now we wait. We wait for that day to be realized. But you know who else is waiting? Jesus is waiting. Jesus, too, is waiting for his joy to become complete. And here's the level and the measure of the grace of God. Jesus is more excited for that day than you are. If you want an idea of what that's like, maybe a picture in current terms, hear again the words that God calls both himself and you. He says that you are the children, and that he is the Father. So if you imagine perfect and faithful children, I know it's hard to imagine sometimes, if you imagine those perfect, faithful children, what does a faithful child do? Well, the child waits at the door for the parent to come home, and they get super excited when they hear the car crunching into the driveway when they pull up and the parent gets home, right? And now, I've only ever been a kid waiting at the door. I've never been the parent coming home to a child, but I've been told that while the joy of the child waiting is one thing, the joy of the parent waiting to see the child is another thing. Because while the child has the responsibility of waiting and watching and then enjoying the gifts they've been given, it's the parent who's sacrificing. It's the parent that's giving themselves for the sake of the child. It's the parent that knows the consequences if they stop caring for the child. It's the parent that gives all the love and the joy that they can for the ones God entrusted to them. And so when the parent shows up and sees the child waiting and watching, sees the child happy, not only happy as enjoying the things they've been given, but even happy to see the parents, is there a better feeling? You are the children, and God is the Father. And even right now, you stand at the door waiting and watching because you don't see him yet. He's gone, but you know and you're convinced by faith that he's coming back. And he has not left you empty. No, he has filled your lives with so many blessings. You have clothing and shoes, food, drink, family, friends. You might have a spouse. You might have kids of your own. You might have grandparents, parents, whatever. All blessings from God, absolutely. But in our faith-filled hearts, we know that those things are going to be only so good and not fully enjoyed until our Father gets home. Because when the Father gets home, our good now will become the best then. When the Father gets home, when our Savior Jesus comes back to get us, the grief-laced joy that we feel this side of heaven will become the happiness-laced joy that will last eternally on the next. And so we have one more question to answer, and it's no longer, what are you waiting for? The question is now, how will you wait for it? Because you've all been excited for something before. You know what it feels like. You know what it feels like to anticipate something, to look forward to something, or to celebrate something great that's already happened. You know how it fills your heart and your mind with just nothing else but that one thought of how wonderful it was. You remember how you couldn't wait to tell somebody else about it. You remember how it powered you through the difficult moments, but also encouraged you and strengthened you even in the good moments. That's what we have. Just think about it. Dad's coming home. Jesus is coming back. And when he does, all those happiness highs this world seems to manufacture for itself, the meaning it tries to manufacture for itself, convincing itself that this is the best that we have, well, they'll all show themselves to be mere fantasies when the Lord comes back. And when our eternal, lasting, never-changing joy is made complete. That's the day we wait for. How long, Jesus? How long until we can see you? Just a little longer. Amen.